Welcome to Brentwood Lighthouse Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us. If you're just joining us online, we so much appreciate you joining us virtually. And it's been a wonderful, joyous morning already. And we thank you and we welcome you all in Christ's love. And we're really joyful to have you. Thank you. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, thanking you, God, for this little series we've had, Lord, on disciple making. So many good truths have been coming out in our church, Lord. God, we want you to help us to be quality disciples. We ask you to help us to reproduce quality disciples, Lord, and it's been a great springtime series here. Thank you so much, God, for joining us, for filling us with your Holy Spirit, for anointing us and covering us. And thank you for the testimonies and the miracles that are happening here in our church, Lord. We cannot thank you enough for the gift that you gave us of salvation, your body given to us on the cross, bringing healing, justification, Lord, our sin for your righteousness, Jesus. What a tremendous blessing, and we're so thankful to be heading toward the celebration of the giving of the gift that saved us all coming up, Lord, and at the end of this month. And we are so thankful and so satisfied and so happy that you cared for us and loved us so much. Speak to us today, Lord, and continue to be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. Go and make disciples. We'll be concluding this little mini-series today. We will be in Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And I kind of want to share that it's really stirred up a lot of calls, a lot of questions the last few weeks. I know that we're making disciples. I told my wife when God causes my phone to ring and a lot of questions to come and people to say, where does it say this in the Bible? And why are certain sins, what is this impact God is saying? And people say, where does it say this in the Bible? And I have shared that privately that I know that God is making disciples. Amen. Because disciples ask questions. Disciples say, where does it say this? What do you mean? I'm held to account. God is actually holding me beyond conversion to live a certain way. And what is a disciple? An adherent to God's word. Someone who goes beyond being saved and becomes a reproducing follower of Jesus Christ, adhering to his word. So it's been wonderful and trying at the same time. Becoming a disciple is a very trying thing. It's not easy. And it is a glorious thing that honors God. God is answering our prayers, and he is giving our church the divine direction that we have been asking for him. And that is to strengthen us, to remind us that we are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ, and to declare his truth to the world that is lost, and that disciples are commanded to make more disciples. This command was given to us in Matthew 28:16 through 20 that we've been studying for the last couple of weeks, the Great Commission. Last week we discussed a little bit about rewards. We're going to go there today at the end of the message. Rewards at what the Bible says is the bema seat of Christ. And last week I mentioned the white throne of judgment. And so they seem to have intertwined. So we're going to review that today. The bema seat and the great white throne of judgment are two different events. The bema seat coming first at the rapture. It's where Christians are going to go. So we're going to review that a little bit. And just to clarify, the rewards of Jesus are not the white throne of judgment. The rewards of Jesus are the judgment seat of Christ, known as Bema, the Bema seat. And the white throne of judgment, we'll talk more. That comes after the thousand-year reign. That is the end of all things. That is what we say where the beginning of world without end happens. Amen? The new world without end. I love that. It's a beautiful thing. The white throne comes at the beginning of world without end, and you will be there in Jesus Christ. Amen? Today, we're going to have a sort of an exhortation to complete this series. And as I was looking at this, I said, God, exhort us, tell us, why do we want to be disciples? And one of the questions that I really was asking the Lord is, help us to see. You say, go and make disciples, be adherents, followers of your word, and dedicate our lives to following your word beyond conversion. Why, Lord? What is it that we need to know to root us in this cause? You said it. Make disciples, be my followers, obey my word. Where the Bible says, Proverbs 28:9, he that turns his ear away from my instruction, even his prayer becomes non-essential to God. Like, I don't want that. I want our prayers to be heard. I want healings and miracles and signs and wonders. We want to be in the presence of God and enjoy every gift that he has given. Amen? And we say, why, Lord? Tell us, exhort us, encourage us, and strengthen us why you gave this command and why it's so important for us to be your faithful disciples. Before we begin, I want to ask you, have you ever began something, you really desired it? You thought, I'm going to pursue this, it's going to be wonderful, and when I achieve it, it'll be a title, or it'll be a degree, or an accomplishment. I'm going to be a farmer. I'm going to be someone who works in the medical field, a nurse. I'm going to do something. And you have a deep desire. Have you ever done that? Pursued a deep desire and just stopped? Just stopped. Amen. And just said, I didn't make it. I really wanted that. For me, it was after I got out of high school. I was someone who kind of had a failure to communicate in high school with others. I think I was like they called a really old soul. Like, I was living in the future, and what kids were kind of doing, I wasn't really interested in that. Sports and things, I was living beyond my age. And years later, I kind of see now where God was in that. But I didn't fit very well, and so I went to an alternative high school, and it started to fit really well. It really started to blend well. They were addressing me and my learning capabilities and what I needed. I ended up getting straight A's, perfect attendance, the staff award, and a college scholarship, and I couldn't believe that. So for me, I pursued on to go to Los Medanos College with that scholarship. It was going to pay for books and materials and things. And I pursued classes and things that I was a good mechanic. I was good with my hands fixing things. And I pursued mechanical drawing, a blueprint reading, welding, and small engine repair. And I know firsthand what it's like to start something and not finish. And that semester started in the fall, and by the end of the semester in the winter, it was time to get a job. And I just didn't see the value in completing and pursuing when I could go to work. Needless to say, the credits in blueprint reading and engine repair, had I have fulfilled those things, it could have very well changed my life, and it didn't happen. I don't want that to happen with any Christian. I don't want conversion to take place and to see a Christian fail to understand what is a disciple and what does it mean? What does it mean that God says, if you become a Christian and turn your ear away from my word and my instruction, even your prayer can become essentially quiet to God? And I'm not going to let that happen. And I don't want that to happen to any Christian. We're going to finish, and we're going to finish, what do we say? Don't finish weak, but finish strong. And it's my desire to finish strong and for every Christian under my leadership and in our church without any breakdown whatsoever to be a strong finisher. Amen? That is a major goal. Let's read today Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, and we'll break this down how God showed me. Encourage us, God. Encourage us. Who are we? Why is it so important? Why should I complete this? Why is it so important that I don't quit? Show me. Show me deep inside. Let's read Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. Starting in verse 1, Ephesians chapter 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him, and you have been seated with him in the heavenly places. The scripture says, and raises us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Amen. Thank you, church. Let's break this down a little bit and see what God is saying, how he will exhort us to understand who we are and to know why obeying his calling is so important. It's a word about hopelessness and helplessness. A disciple knows his or her condition prior to Christ. Why should I follow Christ? Why is being a disciple so important? Why don't I just get saved and kind of turn away like I did in earlier things in life? A disciple knows his or her condition. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. See, now we're going to break the scripture down. Where was I? Remind me who I was. Because I want to know, why am I following you? Why am I to obey your commands? Who are you, Jesus, to command everything in my life? Remind me. Tell me why. You were dead in your transgressions, Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. The Bible says, not me, not anyone else, not you, the Word of God says that I was a child of wrath. But I'm not anymore. A disciple knows who he was. Dead in sin, a child of wrath. Ask yourself, what is the fate of a child of wrath? What is the destiny of a child of wrath? Thank you. Lots of ideas here. Lots of knowledge. True knowledge. True saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. What is the fate of the rest? Those, the sons of disobedience that are in the world, what is their fate? That you once had the same fate as them. A disciple knows that all mankind is dead in sin, perpetually stuck in hopelessness and helplessness and spiritual death. Take a look at Romans 5:14. First, let's take a look at Romans 5:12. A disciple acknowledges they were once spiritually dead. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. All means all. All are dead. And a disciple understands that all humankind is dead in sin. Romans 5:14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness in the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Who is the second Adam? Jesus Christ. Adam is a type. Now, Adam and Eve sinned, but what the Bible says clearly here is that death reigned in everybody from Adam to Moses, which is prior to the law given. Death reigned in every human being, even if they weren't the one that bit the apple, or even if you haven't done the sins that you think would justify your eternal death or spiritual death. All are dead, and death reigned, even from Adam to Moses, even for those who didn't sin like Adam and Eve. It is perpetual death for all mankind. Ephesians 4:18-19 reads, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. Now, what I need to know is that that was me. That was my prior condition. It's setting the table. I wasn't in any way endowed with life, or God did not owe me anything. Eternal life was not something that I just would pick up and grab. This is what my condition was. The death of all humanity is a cause for God's command and His exhortation to all disciples to actively serve, participate, and to practice reproducing more disciples. I want to go back to that call one more time. God's call to make disciples. Knowing who I was and beginning to know who I am now, let's read Matthew 28:19-20 one more time. Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Therefore, to me, means, therefore, since you were once totally dead, your destiny was eternity apart from me in a place the Bible calls hell. You see, therefore, and since I'm going to raise you up and seat you in heavenly places, and you know your prior condition, therefore, you go and you make disciples. You go and you activate, you participate, you be involved, you have care and concern. The Bible says when Jesus saw them, He saw that they were dispirited like sheep without a shepherd, and He had great compassion and empathy for them. Amen? And he said, you go and make disciples. Go and teach people to follow my word. And we've already studied this goes well beyond conversion for the Christian. And I just need to understand that. Jesus, who are you to tell me to do so much more? Why should I do more? Why should I be involved? Why should I participate, activate, and be heavenly involved in reproducing disciples and helping more people to understand the truth of your word and to follow you? A focused disciple deeply understands his or her present condition. Knowing who I was, it's as if God was presenting this to me as a court case or a condition for me to review, as if I was standing at the Bema seat where Christ is judging me, saying, did you know who you were, Pastor Anthony, before conversion? Do you know who you were? And I say, yes. He says, very good. I'm glad you know who you were. I'm glad. Now let's take a look at a focused disciple understanding his or her present condition. Back to Ephesians 2, 4 through 9. Glory be to God. Amen. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Okay, thank you, God. So now I'm seated in a heavenly seat. My home is in heaven, in Christ Jesus, removed from my old condition, and given a seat with Christ in heaven. Understanding now my new condition. I want to remind you that Palm Sunday, I'm doing a little research on that. It's going to be next week. Palm Sunday, in a nutshell, God has already showed me some things. Palm Sunday is the day that Jesus said, okay, God, everything I've been doing has been a lot. It's been a great journey. But today I'm going to rush into Jerusalem. I'm going all in. I'm going to run down to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. I'm going to tell them I'm God. I'm going to do the very things. I'm going to participate, get active, no more hiding. Remember how Jesus hid? He didn't go to Jerusalem, and he was all over Galilee and hiding, saying, don't say nothing, don't say nothing. I'm not participating. I'm not totally active yet. Palm Sunday's the day Jesus said, it's over. I'm going all in. Amen. I'm going all into Jerusalem, and I'm going to tell them the truth, and I'm going to stick to it, and it is going to cause me in a week's time to be exactly where you know that I'm going to be, on that cross. Amen? He went all in for me. He went all in for you. And that's how you got to be in this seat with him in the heavenly places. Amen? Amen. 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 That is the truth. And I need to know that. Exhort me, God. Tell us why. Why are we to do this? What is it that makes you able to command me and us and give us such a life-consuming command? Why are you worth it? Why is it worthy? Why should we choose you? It is time now to stand up, serve the Lord who has seated us in the heavens, obey his word, and devote our lives to his cause, his love, and his desire to save more lost souls. People we love, people we know, our fellow human beings, our family members are dying in their sins. Thirdly, I know where I was, I know where I am now. Obedient disciples know that God planned good works for them, and they know that a loving God desires them to reap the awesome and blessed rewards that He wants to give us. He didn't leave us without. This is amazing. He removed me from where I was. He gave me a seat in heaven. And as an obedient disciple, I know that God planned work for me to do. So the very things we're saying disciples do, I said, activate, participate, get involved, make it your concern. Deeply love the fact that you get to serve God and make building and glorifying Him and building His kingdom the top priority in your life. You've just laid out the cause of why that is justified. Who you were and where you are. The case has been made. And now Jesus is going to share with us that He is actually waiting and loves nothing more than to shower you with the rewards at the appointed time for everything that you would do. Our loving God is asking you to make Him your top priority. And He has, not just flippantly, He has written in His Word, He is not a man that He should lie or the son of man that He should repent. This is the true Word of God. And He is going to reward you. Take a look at Ephesians 2:10. And we'll conclude today's scripture here. And then we'll look at this a little bit. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Okay, church, I was once destined for eternity apart from God. Now I have a seat next to Jesus in heavenly places. And I understand now that with that seat, that God planned something for me to do. So now I'm starting to see it. Wait a second, Lord. I've been asking You, why should I do it? What's my involvement? Who are You to command me to participate and give my whole life over in service to You? Not only to live a fruitful life on earth, being blessed in every way. Not only to live under the stability and the peace and the steadfast life that we seek in this church. To live in the modicum of safety and peace and steadfastness together as a family. The sheep have to be protected. They have to thrive. Not then, but even right now. Amen? And that's what this family is here in this church. And I'm asking God daily, daily to make us those thriving sheep, being blessed not only in heaven, but today here on earth with healing, provision, jobs, miracles, wonders, the leveling of circumstances, obstacles moved out of our way, health and healing, reproduction and rebirth, everything happening in good order. It is of the most urgent magnitude that the sheep live in peace.
Amen.
Suddenly I find out, and you can tell me, the work that I'm either choosing to do or not choosing to do. I've taken my seat. Boy, am I glad it has my name on it. It's way up there in heaven, according to God's Word, not mine. I'm so glad I have my seat. But this work that He called me to do, I'm still, the case is still out on this. But then I find out now in the Word of God that the work that I'm wondering if I should be doing, or wondering, Jesus, are You really the consumer of all my life? Are You really the one to tell me everything? I find out that Jesus planned the work that I'm debating over. When did He plan it? Before the foundation of the world, He planned the work for me to do. And I'm having a debate. Well, is He really worth it all? Is this really what I should do? And I find out that my Lord planned the things that I am to do before He even created the world. And I'm deeply moved. I'm understanding the case is beginning to close. And it's closing on me. And I understand. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 15:58 as we wind it down. 15:58. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren. Again, therefore. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Notice the word therefore. To me, it's therefore, since you were destined for hell, therefore, since you now have a seat in heaven, and therefore, since I did plan the work that you're debating about now, you're having a, Anthony, you're having a little controversy about whether you should fully devote to it. Therefore, knowing that I planned it before the foundation of the world, I want you to be steadfast and immovable, and I want you to always be involved in the work and the toil of the Lord, knowing that it's not in vain. Amen?
Amen.
Case closed. Good works do not give us salvation, but they are absolutely meant to be the result of salvation. We serve and love. Why does God reward us? We love you, Jesus. We serve because of what you've done. The case is already made. My seat in heaven is reserved for me. That is my home. I am justified at the moment of salvation, not by my works. It is completed and done. Why does God reward us? The Bema Seat of Christ is where Christ rewards each believer. Now we're just closing the case, saying, okay, God, I'm convinced. I need to serve you. My debates were fruitless. In fact, sometimes they're a little not quite appropriate, debating the work that you planned for me before the foundation of the world. So I'm a little sorry about that. I want to dedicate to you and come in understanding. And now I see that the Bema Seat of Christ is where Christ is going to reward me. He's going to reward each believer individually for his or her good works. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Show me, God. Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now hang on. This describes the believer's deepest motivation and highest aim in pleasing God. The realization that every Christian is inevitably and ultimately accountable to him at the judgment seat of Christ. Here in verse 10, 2 Corinthians 5:10, each believer must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, metaphorically refers to the place where the Lord will sit to evaluate all believers. He will evaluate their lives for the purpose of giving them eternal rewards. This word is translated from the Greek word bema. That's where we get bema, from the Greek word in the original text. The word bema comes out of the translation, the judgment seat of Christ. The Greek word is bema. We call it the judgment seat, which is an elevated platform where victorious athletes in the Olympics went to receive their crowns. Come on, church. Nothing new. Christ is not saying it's so magical you can't understand it. Do you understand where an athlete goes today when he wins the gold? Of course you do. He goes above everybody, and he is awarded the highest honor. It's an elevated platform where he stands, yes, above everybody else, and he is given the highest award. It's an elevated seat where Christ will sit, elevated above everything that exists, where his rightful place, and he's going to give to you your crowns. He's going to personally reward you. Take a look at Revelation 22:12 as we close. We're going to read some scriptures that, if you're watching virtually, I ask you, pay close attention to the next couple of minutes as we close here. Revelation 22:12. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. The Bema Seat is only for believers in Christ. It is not to judge for heaven or hell. The Bema Seat is those that are chosen, those that have given their life to Christ. Believers are forgiven at the moment of salvation according to God's word. That can happen today. That happens when your heart is moved and you understand that your sin has offended God and you're ready to tell God, I get it, I'm sorry. And it happens. Salvation happens at that moment. You are forgiven at the moment of your acceptance of Jesus Christ. Where was I? Where am I now? And am I receiving Christ's loving rewards? The Bema Seat is not for unbelievers. You must be a believer to appear before the Bema Seat. If you're an unbeliever, you will appear at the white throne of judgment. And that's not a place where you want to be. You're excluded from Christ and His rewards, excluded from a seat in heaven, and you will be at the white throne of judgment, which comes at the end of the 1,000-year reign, just before world without end is created. And you will not be in that world without end. The world without end will be created for followers of Jesus Christ, where we will live. The Bema Seat of Rewards is for those who have accepted Jesus Christ into their heart, asked for forgiveness for their sin. There will be only rewards at the Bema Seat. Even though it said to judge for good and bad, it's going to be okay. There is no punishment at the Bema Seat of Jesus Christ. And that is our prayer for every human being that lives. No punishment at the Bema Seat, only rewards that are yours to earn, yours to have. When all these things are evident to you, the case is made and closed. It's yours to have. There'll be no punishment for any Christian at the Bema Seat. So God, help me to be with you, to understand you, to accept you, and help me to receive these rewards, to understand that I am serving you and that you are blessed to have me in your kingdom and serving you and bringing me to the seat of rewards where you can have the joy of telling me, good job. Revelation 22, 16 and 17, and we close. If you're listening virtually, please tune in now as we close. There'll be an offer to receive Christ. The words won't save you. It's a heart that believes that saves you. Revelation 22, 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. If this is you today, if you're here in church, if you're watching virtually today, next week, next month, it doesn't matter when. If you're ready to take the water of life without cost, that is taking your seat in heaven and entering into the process of becoming a disciple, you can make that decision now. It is with the mouth we confess and ask for forgiveness of sin, and with our heart that we believe. And if that's you, just pray with me now. Pray with me now. All heads bowed. Thank you, church. Let's just bow our heads and hearts. For those that might want to receive the Lord, intercede for them. Heavenly Father, I come before you now, and I understand that your death and burial and resurrection is the way of life for me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I confess my sin before you today. And I ask you to forgive me. Forgive all my sin. Know my heart. See me, God. and see the truth in my confession. I ask you today, Father God, to open my heart and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Received my offering of repentance. I make Jesus the Savior of my life, and I choose to follow Him for the remaining portion that I live here and for eternity. And God, I thank you for such a precious and honest and wonderful and truthful gift that you would save a person like me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, church. Keep your seat. Sister Yuki is going to sing us a song, and then I'll pray us out. A couple of more minutes. If you prayed that prayer, please get in a church. Surround yourself with Christian people. You are welcome here. Always welcome here at Brentwood Lighthouse. Mm-hmm.